Well,
one of those North Americans come in here drunk. I'm surprised you let me in the house. I said, I saw you out there, but I'm going to have business meeting now. You have to get out of here. I was him staggering out there. I said, Lord, they laid me off.
Well, the last time we had talked, you had, I think you had gotten up to the end of the war. You had taken some time off to go back to Texas, I think, to see your family. And there was a little time in there, I think you looked where there, were you ever, I was just trying to remember, actually laid off from North America at the end of the war?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, for a little while.
Yeah, I think it did. You know, I got off about 8 months, I believe.
Mm-hmm. And then how did you find out that they were rehiring?
Oh, they just called you back because they just laid us off that day when, what is it, D-Day Day or whatever
uh-huh.
you call it.
Uh-huh.
Lady, everybody got off.
Uh-huh. And then, so when while you were laid off, did you went back to Texas for a while, or was I confusing that?
No, I think we draw the unemployment, I think. I don't know, I think that's what we had to do, draw the unemployment.
Mm-hmm. Did you think about getting another job somewhere? Or?
Mm-mm. Because I knew they were going to call us back.
Mm-hmm. Did you just have a feeling, or did someone say they were going
to? I think they said they'd call us back, but they didn't know when, you know.
Mm-hmm.
When everybody, they called different ones back. I guess they called us back by seniority. I don't forget how they did that.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
So then, when you went back, did you get into a different kind of work than you'd been in, or was it the same?
What did I have on that? I think when I was doing installing, and then mm-hmm. I installed a general, and then I got off of that because they was gonna have a. They was going to lay off from that job. They were going to discontinue that job, and I was scared I wouldn't have had no job. Then I went into structure, right? I guess that's when I went into structure. I think that's what it says, I guess. I feel I have to keep up with that thing because I don't know really. I have to kind of look over. That's been so long.
Yeah. So then was the plant really different after the war? Had it changed? Much?
Well, yeah, they always was kind of different. I told you they was, I think I was telling you about how crazy they was, and at 12 o'clock we'd all, at lunchtime, still at 11 o'clock like it is now, or not, 11 or 12.
Mm-hmm.
For 30 minutes, and we'd have to eat and go to the meeting too to get them farmers off of the union to do that, you know.
Mm-hmm. Was that, did the union mainly meet with the black workers about that? Or?
They meet with all with the company, you see. The union meets with the company about things just like they're doing now.
Mm-hmm.
They're negotiating now, so they have to do all that with the company,
mm-hmm.
tell them what they make the lead men and foremen just let the people alone and stop harassing them.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
That's what he was telling me, how much money. One girl out there now, she been out there longer than I have because she's still out there, but she had a stroke the other day. And they had to pay her. See, he said, I don't know whether he's telling a story or not. I had talked to Ella May and them or something. Say that they had to pay us so much money.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. So when you had to have these half hour lunchtime where you'd have to eat and meet, would that be a meeting of the union people?
Yeah, just the union.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Uh-huh, not the company.
No, because they go to the company and see how they get to it up.
Because
everybody be complaining, filing grievance, but. They didn't have so much filing grievance then, because the union wasn't so strong itself, you know. They couldn't hardly do much with the company.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And just like now, they go so far with the company, and they just have to get back a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you had talked to me about some of the things that had happened to you before, about them putting you in working places with dangerous chemicals. And
yeah, that's what I was looking at the television about that asbestos, and I was saying I wish I could get, I think it's till the 24th or something, they say they'd have free examination down at Long Beach.
Mm-hmm.
I sure wish I could get there. I don't know, I forgot how they say, call or write or something to get an appointment.
Mm-hmm.
And a friend of mine, he's from the shipyard, so he goes to the lawyer, but the lawyer don't charge him nothing. If he doesn't have it, he sends him to his doctor, and that's in Long Beach somewhere, where it may be the same place. I bet it is. And he told me, give me a number out there, and told me to go out there and be sure to go. They all hollering, go look into that. You better go look into that about your health at least. And I said, well, I don't know. I just don't have no way to get around too good. Of course, I know how to go out on Wilshire, but I don't know much about how to go no Long Beach.
Mm-hmm. Did you work around asbestos?
Mm-hmm. I used to clean it. See, I was a processor.
Mm-hmm.
I cleaned everything. Everything went on in planes nearby.
Mm-hmm. When you did you ever file a grievance about not being? I know you told me that they wouldn't give you your A classification.
Oh, they never give me no A, and I deserved an A all the time.
Mm-hmm.
Some of the girls got A's, and they just get them. I don't know what this was. According to who they like and who they know. That's what one told me one time. Right there, it ain't what you do and what you know to do. It's just who you know.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, you're right. You are right. And working your brains out and somebody else get all the critics. And I just think them many years I've been out there and couldn't get to be an A. Didn't have to go to school because I just could do the work. First woman run the crane out there, and a big old crane. When I come from Crenshaw, I used to work in the clean room. Then I think I got the picture of where I was in the room, big picture, because
mm-hmm.
where you had to wear them caps, but they had little caps on, but they made us put caps on just like nuns, you know, and
mm-hmm.
fasten up under here, and let's go over your shoulder in long white robes. And white nylon gloves where you steal over ultrasonic inhaling that stuff, you know. Everything, the steam coming up from there, you know, all this junk, I don't know why I didn't wear something around my neck high to keep all that stuff. And I got a place when I came over to the main plant, I couldn't talk for 6 months hardly for that old caustic, you know, filling the tanks with that old. And I call myself being nice to one fella because he had an asthma or something other. And I went and didn't know, you know, I just had come over there and they put the old stuff was lumpy, yellow, real yellow. And I got in there in that basket and taking a shovel and I was just beating it up, you know. And then I stopped and kind of tied some cheesecloth around my nose and stuff. But that didn't hit. I said, now, that ain't doing much good. But everybody went out of there then, you know.
Mm-hmm.
The place had given me a respirator, telling me not to get in there. And so when I did get through beating it up and everything, oh, I had to go to the restroom, pull off my clothes, and just really say take a bath, and thought it was just eating my feet up.
Mm-hmm.
And ever since that day, I just know that stuff just got into me. And the old safety man, well, you just well go on a disability because I ain't going to be paying for no. They sent me to different doctors and And they told them that my throat was irritated. My vocal cord was irritated. That's what it was. They told me before they sent me over, I said, now, I had a little doctor there. He was very nice, and he's very truly about everything. But he retired before I did. I sure did hate to see him go. And this big old man, he would just try to get on me all the time. And he was the one who looked in my throat and said the same thing for one over there. And then when I come back, it's in your own puff over there, you know. And I sure did like that doctor. Really was a good doctor, I sure. But they don't allow you to go back to him for yourself, you know. He could take something long, like a quill or something other, with a light on the end, a little ball light on there, and put it down your throat and see everything. Mm-hmm. He said, yeah, your vocal cord is really irritated. Mm-hmm. And I could just dig it. I'd take something and just dig that yellow stuff out of my ears and things. I said, Lord, that stuff will eat you up, your brains and things. I don't know. I just wondered about the junk. And I went to a doctor. He sent me a letter the other day because he moved downtown. He was a ear and nose and throat doctor, so he was going to send me out here to this little old Sentinella hospital because he couldn't look down my throat like the other guy did. And so after he moved downtown, I couldn't leave work and get downtown in time enough to go to him, so I just had to let him go. You know, and I was trying to think why did I? Oh, I was talking, and he put me on some vitamins and things. Seemed my doctor sent me to him. He used to be on Vernon and Broadway. But I wondered about that stuff for many days about my neck. I got a swollen thyroid gland, but here for the last year or two, I don't know, at night, look like I just spit up more phlegm, and I was wondering, what the heck is all that? I asked my doctor, I said, what is all that coming from? And I just wondered about that junk. I said, I would just like to. So he told me to take Dr. Katz out here at Beverly Hills. He specializes in nothing but thyroids and garters and all that stuff. And I told him, I said, look like I just flutters in here. And you can sometimes you can feel it, you know, and it fluttered like that. And so he said, well, you go and take an x-ray, go down the street there, and have about late in the evening. I wouldn't be out no better here and nowhere else, you know, because can't go down here nowhere. These people over here, I'm just be so glad they get that mess out of them over there. Yeah, but they still, excuse me, them boys still laying around over there with this, and they just sleeping up there and they smoking that old junk. But they treat me nice. I have to kind of be nice with them because I don't want them to burn me out. And they've broken all three of them houses, but the woman didn't have stuff on her house till I was gone. So she called out my daughters and said, well, you better tell her to come on, because they're breaking in the house, and hers is the last one. But Mac is always the one I always talk with. So they got some white guy, he stays over there with them. I said, what you doing over here? Where you like to stay over here? It's like Mac and Didi. And he sleeps in them old buildings over there. Oh boy.
When did you first buy this house?
1960. I think it was in April or May or something. Mm-hmm. I used to pass by going to work, and well, there was nothing here then but white people up in here. No color in here at all. And I used to like where the living room was, you know, and I'd run in here, but I had to do so much to it because it was some Mexican, this woman was an Irish woman, and the man was a Mexican fella, and he had three boys, I think, and one girl, and her son was a teacher, and she was a teacher, and the husband worked at at the post office then.
The people who were living next door?
Was living next door. And they kept all the side of my house all straight. And I mean, Drake, you don't have to come over here to do nothing. He would tell me, sure, they'd have a pretty yard and everything. Mm-hmm. And that Sunday, everybody was looking at the house, so they were, the lady was wounded so bad, her husband hadn't come from work. She wouldn't got a father, so father asked her, what can I do? I can't do nothing about it. So my real estate man, I said, well, what, I said, well, we better, say, well, if they take $100 and draw it up tonight, on Sunday, I said, you can do that on Sunday? So my husband then, he said, why are you going to get the $100 from till Monday till you go to the bank? I said, it's all right. I got everything right here in my pocket. He was surprised. So that's the way we went on back to the house on 60s, I think. I was staying out there by in Vermont off of that. And so loaded up, and that's where I got it.
When, let's see now, you remarried in 1949?
Mm-hmm. 48 when I married Drake. Mm-hmm. And then 19, because we didn't stay together no time, because he had been in service so long, and he was so mean, and man, that ever so ship would come in here. Well, I knew that I could tell when he was coming in and everything, but I went in. I'd always go to my doctor and everything before he'd get in here. And he'd come in just a raising sand, because one of the fellows was there, Mr. Benton, he playing for a church. He was one of these kind of sissy men, you know, always have been. And he was sitting there talking to me, and all that made him mad. And that evening, Monday, he jumps on me to try to throw in all the dishes in the floor and stuff. Well, he didn't know nothing about Los Angeles, so I just stepped aside. It was night, real dark. I just stepped over next door, and then I went on down to my girlfriend, because his ship had to go back that Monday. So I went on that Monday and got my divorce. I was working out in Downey then. So that made, he was gone 8 months. And we married that Saturday. He was on Saturday. And then he left that Monday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday, I believe. And it was gone 8 months. So I tried to have it another, but this attorney said that you couldn't do it unless insurance was involved.
So what year was it that you married?
And then in 1950. I was in 58, I married Prince in 48, but North America didn't know nothing about that. I didn't never change my name. I didn't get a chance. I was going to do it. I stayed with him about 6 years, but I was wondering why he didn't go to the service. A man of his age and strong as he was, North America was so crazy about him. He could just work until I saw his papers, and I said, I see why you didn't go to the service. Because you don't have all belong to you, he's just not going to take you. Mm-hmm. He worked in North America, too, but he mostly worked in dining, but he worked out here on El Segundo when they had the plant they called the snake pit all the time, when the people had to put it. Eardrums in to work in there, because it didn't have enough windows in there. And people was having so much trouble with their ears, you know.
Mm-hmm. So first you married Drake, and that was in the about 1950, you think?
No. Let's see. What? Yeah, Drake was in 1948,
I
think it was.
When he was in the service, was that in... during Korea, or?
No, he was in the Navy. He'd been in there. He had moved stripes. I got his picture in there. Mm-hmm. He had a lot of stripes on his arms and everything. He was supposed to say he was going to make a career out of it now, but few more years, 20 more years. I don't know why it was. He was going to stay in there 20 years or something, and then he was, I think he said he was going to get out. But he come back to town trying to see me, but I was married then.
You'd been married in Texas for when you were younger?
Yeah, to the kid's daddy.
Yeah, and then, so it had been a while since you'd been married when you married him.
Yeah, but going to school then. I think I turned 15 when Jean was born, I believe. Because I was in the kind of country all the time. Didn't know nothing. They didn't tell me nothing. My mother wasn't with me no way. So nobody tells me nothing, so I just didn't know nothing. I just, first time, yep, that it was. The other girls that scared me into all that anyway, so just never had no luck at nothing. Because the other girl died, and they saying, oh, you better do so-and-so, because Frankie died. You know, she didn't ever have a boyfriend or husband or nothing. You better, everybody was running and ripping and trying to get some
country. So one of the girls that you had known in school had died?
Yeah, we all turned out of school about her. Everybody went out of school. They just thinking, oh, that's going to happen to us, you know. If you didn't have a boyfriend or something other like that, you're going to be just like she would be.
Mm-hmm.
And that scared everybody. Everybody was all, shoot.
Mm-hmm. How old was she when she died? She
was older than we were. Mm-hmm. She was, we must have been 17 or something, because she would have been out of school, I guess. Because that other school didn't go no higher than the 12th grade, I think. Because that's how I was, where I went to school, and then I never did get to go anymore. I had to get out and work then.
Yeah. So how long were you married to him? That was
my first husband?
Uh-huh.
Let's see. Wasn't too long, because before, now Jean is a little older than Charlene, and I was looking at them papers, but I had sent them to the service, and before Charlene was born, I think Charlene was born a day or two after that, after he jumped on me that night. He's all coming from a carnival. And I was with me, and his sister used to run around all the time, but his oldest sister, she's in Dallas now. She's diabetic. She's sick all the time. And all of them died but him. All his brother, because there were 14 of them kids.
Wow.
A lazy family. But they all went to, had to work now. And their mothers and father died. Well, I don't know how long we stayed together, because not too long, I don't imagine, because about 2 years, I guess. Because I know Charlene wasn't born till that night he's jumping on me, because I really expect him to get out. That's the reason I didn't try to fight him too hard, but I went to the wrong place when I wasn't turning him in. I shouldn't have stopped in Italy, Texas. I should have went to Waxahachie. They would have, them bulldogs would have murdered him. Them some of the meanest, they call them the Bulldogs, the Rangers. When they, some get too tough in Dallas, they send and get those guys.
Mm-hmm.
Come from, when they come from Waxahachie, if you ever get messed up there, you messed up.
Mm-hmm.
They just look like big, they call them the Bulldogs. They just look so mean.
Mm-hmm.
And if I had a got to them first, but you can't make a complaint at two places like that, you know, at court like that. But I was just so mad that night. I was just crying, and I was so mad, and went uptown fooling with that little old man, and should have never done it. Because they all know everybody, you know, when you're in a little old town like Italy, Texas. It wasn't big as it is now. I went out there to see my uncle this last while I was down there, see how he was doing. I did all that walking and got off the highway and had to walk back, and I carried him some sheets and things, and I tell you, it just wore me down this time. Yeah. I was so glad. I just prayed to the Lord to let me just get the job done, and I did. If I did come in and lay around, I had to lay around about 3 weeks before I could just begin to feel like myself.
Mm-hmm. So your second husband was Drake, was his last name?
Mm-hmm.
How did you meet
Booker
him?
T. Drake and Tijuana. I go down to Tijuana a lot. And he was spending so much money on it, and this girl was sick out of here now, my friend. You ought to get your Navy husband. I never did like men in uniform much, but I just listened at them, and he had spent all about $200 on, and then he'd come to visit me, over to the house to visit me, and he had bought me out. 18 diamond ring band, and then he spent so much money on me and give me so much. I said, well, he must have cared something, you know, the other way. But somehow I just didn't feel right about him like I should feel about people, you know. But I went on and married him, and Lord have mercy. And Jerry told me, Ms. Drake, you know better than that. When you marry a serviceman, you're just taking steps on yourself. And he sure did, and I sure was, did take them. And them girls were so, my sister was so sorry. You get all your bills paid, and you do all of this, they just do all of these things. Well, she was at home, and Crane, he comes over here now. She's on a kidney machine, but she's about gone now.
This was the woman who was dating him at first, or?
No, she's the one I used to go with. He wouldn't let him go unless he'd been a serve, but he'd write and say, well, if Vidal don't go, y'all, you just can't go, Bertha May. Come on, because I can't go. If Green said, you let me in, I'd come off the job, be so tired. I said, well, y'all go downstairs. See, you stop in San Diego, and then you stay all night. At 10, you get up and catch the bus going to Tijuana. So I told him, hey, go on downstairs to the dance or whatever they want to do. I don't stay up in the bed, because that's North America, was working it too hard then.
Mm-hmm.
And that structure, you just exhausted at night. Mm-hmm. Can't hardly breathe. Mm-hmm. And just like that saber line, they want to send me there across the border. I told them, no, honey, you don't have to even sign by there. You can go over there. When they tore Crenshaw down and sold out over there, Crenshaw,
mm-hmm.
And Nelson Fonger. I told them, no, I ain't going back in that kind of work no more. See, you spent most of your time in structure. That's that structure work.
Mm-hmm.
And they still treating them bad out there. I wasn't going over there.
Mm-hmm. So when you go down to Tijuana, what would they do down there?
Well, you buy things, you know, but a certain amount of things you have to buy, but you can get your friend to buy something else. And like there's so many of you in a car, and you can't carry no mail or nothing. You just have a card. I think we had to show off a card, ID card, I guess, what we had.
Mm-hmm.
But no letters or nothing from over here. You be sure you didn't have none of that around you in your purse.
Mm-hmm.
And I buy perfumes, sometimes buy smoothing irons and things, liquid irons and stuff like that, because you get things pretty cheap over there.
Mm-hmm.
And then some of them weren't able to buy things, but I'd get them to bring mine back.